Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Garrison Keillor makes a lot of jokes about Lutherans and their idiosyncrasies. We tend to make a big deal about our liturgical colors. Keillor jokes about people bringing jello salad to potlucks that are of the correct liturgical color. That doesn't happen quite so much nowadays because Costco and Safeway don't seem to have green carrot salad. But yet each year the Altar Guild asks me for a calendar of each Sunday's liturgical color. So why is it that we focus so much on these liturgical colors? What is the big deal about them anyway? Well, they are symbolic. White, the color white symbolizes purity and righteousness. The color purple symbolizes penitence for Lent. The color red symbolizes the Holy Spirit, and we use that for Pentecost and for Reformation Sunday and special events like we had last week. And the color green represents growth and spring and newness and the growth of the church. The liturgical colors, as you can see today, are white. And they're white because this is the season of Easter. It is a period of time when we remember that we are in Easter. We remember that Christ rose from the grave and brought us eternal salvation. It's that 40 days that Jesus remained on earth after the resurrection. It's a time when we remember and we celebrate and we are happy about that and all of the things that it means to us. But it is also a time when we look forward to Jesus coming back again in his return on the last day. So one of the readings today comes from Revelation. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. I preached 3 years ago on this same day when the week before had been the bombing at the Boston Marathon. And I started out by saying, it's been a tough week. And then I showed pictures of things that had happened each day. It was a time when we needed to strengthen the relationship between Jesus and ourselves, strengthen that personal relationship that we all seek. And today we also seek to continue to improve and strengthen that personal relationship. In the verses leading up to the gospel lesson today, Jesus healed a man who had been blind from birth. And the Pharisees accused Jesus of being possessed, of being a demon. They were convinced that the proper way to heaven was through obedience to the law and keeping the law to the nth degree. We all know that no one can do that. And the man who had been healed of his blindness was the one who got it exactly right. He said, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Jesus had been trying to explain to the Pharisees that he was indeed the Messiah, but their concept of the Messiah just didn't fit. They couldn't get past their belief that heaven was achievable by keeping the law, by doing something they could do so that God would accept them. Jesus responds by saying, I already told you. I've been doing things and you folks aren't believing me. And then he calls himself the Good Shepherd. He says, I am the one who cares for my sheep. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, which was a clear reference to his coming crucifixion. I know my sheep, Jesus said, and they know me. Jesus would lead us to heaven. And today our reading from Revelation speaks of that heaven. It reveals more to us about Jesus on the heavenly throne. You remember that John, when he wrote this book, was trying to comfort the people in the churches of Asia. In fact, he was trying to comfort us as well. That was his goal. And so Jesus comes to him and gives him a vision, invites him to heaven. And John goes through this door and he sees Jesus sitting on the throne. He says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb.'" That's what John saw. I tried to visualize that scene, and it just doesn't come to me very well. Imagine, if you will, more people than you can count. And people from every nation and tribe and people and language. You'll notice that there are four things there. In Revelation, that number four represents all of creation. So what John was looking at was people from all of creation of all time surrounding the throne and praising God. And they are all clothed in white robes. White stands for purity and righteousness in Revelation. And they're all waving palm branches. And that's how in those days people welcomed a king or a leader to an area, was by waving palm branches at them. And that's what people are doing in heaven, welcoming their king to the throne. And they were all shouting, "Our salvation comes from God and from the Lamb." If John can have a vision of heaven, can other people have a vision as well? Maybe they can. Let me relate a story. Anne recently visited a woman named Jean. Jean was recently diagnosed with a terminal disease. She doesn't know exactly how long she has to live, but it involves her kidneys, and that certainly is not a good thing in terms of extending life. She accepted that diagnosis very calmly and very deliberately and said, "I'm ready to go." Her family, on the other hand, was understandably upset and cried a lot. And then she explained to them why it was that she was as calm as she was, and that she was, in fact, ready to go. She explained that one night her heart had what she called a hiccup, and immediately she found herself in a tunnel with a bright light at the end of that tunnel. Repeatedly through this story, she tried to find words to describe the beauty of what she saw, and there were none. She mentioned that alongside this tunnel were people, but she couldn't recognize them because it seemed like she was looking at them maybe through falling water. But she had a definite sense of being pulled toward that light, like arms were reaching out toward her to bring her in that direction. And as she grew closer to that light, she described a feeling of being loved like she had never been loved before, and a sense of great peace. She wanted to continue, but a voice suddenly said, "You must go back." And Jean remembers saying, "Please, please don't make me go back." The next thing that she remembered was being back in bed with her husband, lying beside her, sleeping, and she was back to normal, if you will. And she said, when she explained this to her family, "Now I know there is life after death, and I am not afraid to die." In John's vision, one of the elders explains to him that these people dressed in white are the ones who have gone through the great ordeal, the great pain and suffering of life on this earth. He says they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb on the throne. What a great contradiction that is. Can you imagine washing a white robe in blood and having it come out pure white? I don't know about you, but I've tried to get blood stains out of clothing, and it's not an easy thing to do. White seems to absorb all the stains and does not let go of them. This is one of my newest albs. It's kind of a favorite I have. I wear it on special occasions like Easter and Christmas. But I have to be really careful when I wear it, because if I don't, it gets dirty. And a little bit of dirt shows a lot. A little sweat here, a little drop of wine there. It gets dirty very easily. Can you imagine if I wore this all week long, how dirty it would be? And yet those people washed their robes in Christ's blood, and they came out pure and righteous. That's not something that happens on this earth. And John goes on to say, because these people have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb will spread His tent over them, and they will never hunger again, and neither will they thirst, and the hot sun will not beat down upon them. Never again will they suffer the trials and troubles of the difficulties of this world. Never again will they have a body that wears out. Never again will they suffer the loss of a loved one. Never again will they struggle with finances or relationships or a myriad of other earthly problems that we face every day. What comfort we have knowing that those white robes will someday be ours. What comfort can we offer to those people who are struggling financially? What comfort can we offer to people whose children are who have gone off on the wrong path? What comfort can we offer those people who have a chronic illness? What comfort can we offer the person who struggles with addiction? What comfort can we offer somebody who searches for something missing in their life that's shaped a lot like Jesus? What comfort can we offer the person who might be near death? Because you can say to them, there is a new and glorious body waiting for you. There is a new white robe in your future, one that will never become dirty, one that will allow you to wear it every day. Because as the elder says, the Lamb in the midst of His throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I had a job once that required me to attend a lot of meetings, a lot of meetings. I counted one time, and in a three-month period, I attended 80 different meetings. 80 meetings in 65 work days. It was very clear to me that meetings were not productive, and I really learned to hate them. I hated listening to people ramble on about things that were problems, but they never proposed any solutions. It was always, this is a problem. So I learned to struggle. And I finally came up with a solution to my problem. I realized that if I just sat there long enough, each one of those meetings would come to an end, and I would be able to get up and go home. Like those meetings, the difficulties and the hurts and the pains of this world will not last forever either. If we are patient, if we do what Paul says and persevere long enough, we can find that we will finally be able to go home, to be in heaven with Jesus, the Lamb who will be our shepherd. And we will hunger no more, and we will thirst no more forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.